So, during our Lenten journey, we're encouraging each of us to take a serious look at ourselves. And last week we were talking about D for definition, thinking about just what it is that defines us as Christians. And we ended up with the conclusion that the best way to look at this is to allow Jesus to guide us through a self-appraisal. And that guided self-appraisal comprises just two questions, which each of us has to be able to answer concerning our faith journey. The one put to the disciples immediately prior to the Transfiguration: who do you say I am? And then the question put to Peter by the risen Christ on the beach: do you love me more than these? Who do you say I am? Do you love me more than these? The answers we give to those questions will define us as far as what it means to be a Christian is concerned. But today we move on to D for discovery. And what we are doing is inviting each other to consider ourselves embarking on a voyage of self-discovery. Self-discovery. The discipline of Lent provides us with an opportunity to ask serious questions of ourselves, to discover things about ourselves that perhaps otherwise would have remained hidden, or which we would have regarded as trivial or insignificant, but which need to be brought into the forefront of our thinking, and so on. A voyage of self-discovery. But we start in an unlikely place, because an honest voyage of self-discovery should cause us to discover our own limitations. And so the story we heard read concerning the disciples, those who had been left behind when Jesus, with Peter, James, and John, had ascended the Mount of Transfiguration, the others who had been left behind waiting for them to return from the mountain, they were besieged by a crowd because someone's child had fallen ill. Jesus wasn't there. He'd gone off somewhere. But nevertheless, they knew these men to be his disciples. So the people come to the disciples and say, in effect, we want you to heal him. You are followers of the healer. In his name, heal. And to their frustration and their despair, they discovered that they couldn't. And so they posed the question to Jesus, after Jesus, having returned from the mountain, does carry out the healing as required. They posed the question to Jesus, why could we not drive him out? Sometimes a voyage of discovery, of self-discovery, ends with us realizing that we are, after all, only human, and that there will always be that which is beyond us. Not that it is not there, but it will remain beyond our discovering of it. The words of the hymn concerning our relationship with God: 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee. The splendor of light, the sun shining in through the windows, as someone pointed out at a particular point just a quarter of an hour ago, the sun lit up the flowers on the communion table. The splendor of light, the consequence of which hides God from us. There is always that which will remain beyond us. Not that it is not there. It remains beyond our discovering of it. There is a boundary line that exists. It may shift from generation to generation, but it exists nevertheless. But of course, some people do think about discovery in terms of externals. The long list that we thought of ourselves just a short while ago, that's what discovery is all about. It's not about looking in inward on ourselves. It's about looking out into the world and discovering what the world has to offer to us. And for some people, the more we discover of the world, the less we need of God. The more questions we can answer for ourselves, the less we need God to provide answers for us. So someone mentioned DNA, the discovery of Watson and Crick, although on International Women's Day, remembering that it was a woman who worked alongside Watson and Crick who made the discovery, who was written out of the history. The credit went to Watson and Crick, but someone who worked with them, who happened to be a woman, was at the heart of their discovery. But Watson wrote these words: "Every time you understand something, religion becomes less likely. Only with the discovery of the double helix and the ensuing genetic revolution have we had grounds for thinking that the powers held traditionally to be the exclusive property of the gods might one day be ours. Only with the discovery of the double helix and the ensuing genetic revolution have we had grounds for thinking that the powers held traditionally to be the exclusive property of the gods might one day be ours." Bertrand Russell commented, "What is wanted is not the will to believe, but the will to find out, which is the exact opposite." But what's ironic about Russell's statement in particular is this: if we limit ourselves to discovering just what is there to be found out, we will prove to be excellent scientists. If we limit ourselves to what is there to be found out, we will be excellent scientists. And we shouldn't disparage science, particularly at a time like now when the world's best scientific minds are applying themselves to identifying a vaccine that might be used in the future against the virus currently circulating amongst us. The best scientific minds being applied to searching out what treatments might presently be available, if adapted, to at least alleviate the worst of the symptoms that people might have to suffer. We shouldn't disparage science. It's not about that at all. But if we limit ourselves just to what can be found out, we are excellent scientists. But self-discovery is more than just finding out. Self-discovery is more than the pursuit of knowledge and its application. It is as much to do with belief, discovering that which has already been revealed to us, but that to which hitherto we have failed to appreciate about ourselves. When Jesus, during the debrief of the disciples that he held with them following that episode, when the question was put to him, "Why could we not drive it out?" Jesus' answer to them was, "It could only be driven out by prayer." He was, in effect, saying to them, there is a wholly distinctive dimension to engage with. And before they could ever imagine themselves able to be and do as Jesus was and did, they needed to explore within and beyond themselves just what that might be. Before we can look out from ourselves, we have to get to grips with ourselves. And that's what being a Christian is all about. There is a sense in which we can become over-enthusiastic about being Christian. We want to get out there and do it. You know, we found God, we've discovered in Jesus the revelation of God. We want to follow in his footsteps. There's a whole world out there that needs to be changed, transformed. There's not a moment to waste, not a moment to lose. Well, before ever we step outside the door, we need to put ourselves right with God first. This voyage of self-discovery begins with self and then takes us as ourselves, properly remade by Christ, into the world to transform the world for his sake. We do not so much reclaim what we have lost when we go through this process, but we discover a significantly new self in and through the process, until we are led to the limits of our present game plan and find it insufficient. We will not search out or find the real source, the deep well, or the constantly flowing stream. That's the challenge of self-discovery. So what might this mean for us, in practical terms, this voyage of self-discovery that we embark upon under God in Christ, this discipline to which we submit ourselves? Well, it could have a number of practical implications for us as we are. And so, for instance, it might cause us, to have to fine-tune our political antennae. Up until now, we've had a fairly broad-brush view of the world in terms of how it organizes itself and the nation and so on. And if we're honest with ourselves, we've submitted to almost subliminally the prejudices and bigotries that are out and about there. We've been prepared to go with the herd. It may be that on this voyage of self-discovery, we have to at best fine-tune our political antennae. It might even more vigorously stir up within us our social conscience. Yes, there are those things which cause us to be embarrassed, even ashamed, when we see them happening round and about us. But by and large, the world's not such a bad place, is it? When in fact, if we care to look more deeply into it, we will discover that it is. It might serve to reorientate our moral compass, our sense of right and wrong. That which previously we thought, well, it's a bit on the edge, but really, not so bad. There are worse things that happen at sea, excuse the pun. No, it may be that our moral compass will be reorientated. It might heighten our spiritual awareness, cause us to realize just how vulnerable we are as individuals within the world that the God whom we seek to worship, revealed in Jesus, the one in whose footsteps we wish to follow, the realization that this cannot be done in our own strength, that we need to do so in relationship with God through the Spirit as a spiritual exercise. It might widen our horizon, and it might deepen our perceptiveness. It might make us realize that we have to learn to be loved by God, by others, and by ourselves. Learn to be loved and taught to love God, to love others, and to love ourselves. The voyage of self-discovery will make us self-aware, but only insofar as to appreciate that the self of which we speak can never be expressed in terms of selfish desire, but only in terms of selfless commitment. The challenge of faith is to be prepared to go beyond ourselves in order to discover ourselves. God comes to the world, to each one of us, and in Jesus reveals what it means to be truly human. My true self is discoverable only when we are prepared to see ourselves in him. And as we allow this truth to dawn on us, all of a sudden we begin to make sense of Paul's otherwise enigmatic conclusion to the so-called hymn of love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when Paul says, "At present we see only puzzling reflections in a mirror, but one day we shall see face to face. My knowledge now is partial, then it will be whole, like God's knowledge of me." There are three things that last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. The ultimate destiny of any voyage of self-discovery is the realization that we are loved by God, that we are to love one another, and in so doing love and be loved within ourselves.